Okay, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. Appreciate you watching today, tuning in. Our Bible study is in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. Everybody's glad to see my wife is here today. Nobody really cares if I showed up or not.
You sure didn't think
I need all the help I can get, brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation we have in him, for the glorious reality that one day we will spend eternity as a part of his kingdom, because we've been bought with a price. He has shed his precious blood on the cross and made atoning sacrifice for our sins. And now we have been born into and adopted into his family. And it is a privilege to say we are the children of God. We give you praise and glory because of who you are, Father, because of the mighty work that you've done for us in salvation. Not only because of what you have already done, but what you're going to do in the days and the future ahead. We look forward to it because we have a hope that is secure in Jesus Christ. We thank you again, and we pray for everyone on our prayer list that you might be with them and give them health and strength and raise them up according to your perfect will. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word together. Pray that you'll give us clarity of mind, and Lord, that we might speak well concerning your word, that we might know of surety that we are a child of God. Thank you again for the blessing of gathering together in your house, hearing your word and studying your word, and knowing how great is our God. And how great is his salvation he has granted us through his marvelous grace. So we give you praise and glory because of who you are and because of the mighty things that you do. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Before I begin our study in 2 Peter, I will share a experience with you that the nurse that I'm talking with shared with me this past week. And the amazing thing that she was sharing with me was how even children at a young age who are not spiritually educated have an experience that they might not be able to completely understand, but they could share it with her and she could understand that it was something that happened that God did. She said that there was a 3-year-old boy that fell in a swimming pool and almost completely drowned. And they got him out, resuscitated him, and they brought him to the hospital. And she said she was taking care of this little boy, and she asked him, "Weren't you afraid as you went through this experience?" And he said, "No, ma'am, I was not afraid." And she asked him, she said, "Why weren't you afraid?" And he said, "Because there was someone dressed in white standing beside the swimming pool telling me I was going to be all right and I didn't have to be afraid." And so she knew exactly what had happened. The little boy only knew that someone in white was standing by the pool when he fell in and told him he didn't have to be afraid. Everything would be all right. She said, "I have come to find out through the stories of the youngest and those who are older that certain people, God has a plan for their life, and that plan will be carried out." even if they're too young to even understand what is happening. And so I was very appreciative of that experience that she shared with me of that three-year-old boy who did not understand everything spiritually at all, but understood when he fell in that pool that there was someone beside that pool dressed in white that told him everything would be all right. He didn't have to be afraid, and he wasn't. Thought I'd share that with you this morning as we begin. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, our key verse is verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What we are doing right now, and what I was doing last Sunday morning, and what I'm doing this Sunday morning, is looking at how the assurance of our salvation is such a blessing to us as a born-again believer and a child of God. Not only looking at how it is such a blessing, but understanding that it is something you can know of surety. Even Scripture tells us that. And then tonight, I want to try to get through as much of this as I can this morning, because tonight what I really want to do is jump from this passage of Scripture to 1 John. 1 John was written so that you might know that you have eternal life. And so as we get into that, then I want to be able to go from this to that. As we look at the blessing of assurance, I want to go from the blessing of assurance to the tests of assurance, whereby a believer can absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're saved. And so this morning we're looking at the blessing of assurance. Let me say this. I mentioned this last Sunday, but many people don't have assurance of their salvation. And there's two or three reasons because of that. One is many denominations, or I shouldn't say many, I should say some denominations teach an Arminian point of view that someone is saved not only by grace, but by works. And nothing could be farther from the truth. According to Ephesians chapter 1, we are chosen of God before the foundation of the earth. We are saved totally by grace. We're not only saved totally by grace, we are kept totally by grace. Not by our own power, but through the power of Almighty God. The Arminian point of view wants to add works to grace. And that is blasphemy in the nostrils of a holy God, because when we do that, when we say it is repentance and faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, plus what we can do, plus our own works, we have just said that Christ's sacrifice wasn't enough. Therefore, denying that his resurrection, God confirmed that it was enough for justification and regeneration, that we might be a child of God. So that's what we're looking at. And we mentioned the Roman Catholic Church that teaches this. And it is grace plus works. It is the Arminian point of view that it is grace plus. Some denomination teach in baptismal regeneration that one is not regenerated until they are baptized. We do not believe that. We believe that the Bible teaches, as the thief on the cross experienced himself, when Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And so we believe that salvation is grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. And that's what we see when we look at the Word of God. And that's very important. Because I want to make this point to you too. If you believe that it's grace plus you, plus your works, then I must tell you, you can lose your salvation. Because you will never be perfect. You will never measure up to the works that are necessary to get you into the kingdom of God. And so, assurance of salvation by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone is one of the most precious gifts that God has ever given us. The assurance of our salvation. And Scripture attests to that very fact, that we can know that we are saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that's why he said there in the 10th verse of 2 Peter chapter 1, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure." Now, if you could not make your calling and election sure, he wouldn't have said, be eager to make your calling and election sure. And if you would go with me for a moment, I'll just give you scriptures here in 1 John that verifies that as well. If you could go with me back to over to 1 John. Let me go the right direction here. 1 John, first of all, in chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, let me begin up here. He says, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "We write this to make our joy complete." Okay, well, how then can your joy be made complete? Well, if you go over to 1 John chapter 5 and you look at the scripture there, and he gives, as he sums everything up in chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So that you know that you may have eternal life. So the Gospel of John is written so that you might know how to be saved. The book of 1 John is written so that you might know that you are saved. That you might know, that you might have complete assurance in the work of God in your life. That you know you are a child of God. That you have been born from above. Now I'm going back to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at some of the benefits of the assurance of your salvation. Some of the benefits of the assurance of your salvation. First of all, the assurance of your salvation elevates the heart to live on the highest level of joy. Now we just read that in 1 John. He said, "I write these things that your joy might be made complete." And so it brings I cannot imagine in my own life and heart if I lived, had to live from day to day to day wondering if I was saved or not. Did I do enough today? And how much do I have to do? And how do I not get that assurance by something I did do that I shouldn't have done? And so it is one of the greatest blessings of life to find in the Word of God that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God. You've been born from above. You've been adopted into His family. You're an heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, and His promises are true and real throughout eternity for you. And so the first thing we see is assurance of salvation brings a daily joy to your life, because no matter what's happening in the world, you know that one day the King is coming to make everything right, and you know you'll spend eternity with Him. There is a joy and a peace that comes with that that cannot come from anywhere else in life. Now then, the second thing, it lifts our soul to seek holy purposes. And if you want a scripture on that, Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 and 8 through 10. 8 through 10. You say, what is that? Well, it is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you have been born again, it is your desire within your heart to seek the purposes of God for your life as you walk through this world. Well, how do you mean? That God's name might be hallowed, that it might be praised, that it might be glorified. That is something God puts in your heart when you're saved. It is not only that, but it is that God's purposes might be done on earth as it is in heaven. You desire for God's purpose to be worked out not only in your life, but in this world. And you look forward to that when God's purpose is complete, not only in heaven, but in this life, in this world in which we live today. That gives you that, well, that assurance brings that purpose to reality in your life as a born-again believer and a child of God, as you have been born again. Now then, third thing, and I'll give you a scripture for that, but I'm not turning to all these because I got to get through this stuff. Because I want to teach the other tonight if I can. The third thing, Psalms 71:14 and Psalms 103. And that is, what does it do? What does the assurance of your salvation give you every day of your life? It gives you a heart of gratitude. Knowing that I have been saved by the grace of God, undeserving, unmerited, unequal, brings gratitude in my heart. It brings in my life an attitude of thanksgiving. I not only praise God, but I am grateful to God because what He has done for me, I could not do for myself, and I have been born from above by the grace and the power of God. And so it brings a heart of gratitude each day in my life as a born-again believer as I go through this world. You might have a day, you might have one of those mully grubby days where you're not seeing much you're thankful for. You can always go to the cross. You can always look at your salvation that you have in Christ and say, Lord, I may be having an awful day here, but I thank God that I know that one day I'll spend eternity in You because of what You have done for me. And so it brings a heart of gratitude to us as well. And now then, fourthly, 1 Thessalonians 5:8 is a scripture for this. It helps us overcome tests and trials in our life as a believer. It helps me overcome tests, trials, temptation in my life as a believer. You say, well, how does it do that? I have a strength to draw from that I know is not my own because I am a child of the King. I know that He lives in me, and I know that His Spirit lives in me, and I know that which I cannot do without Christ, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so it helps me overcome trials and temptation in my life because I know I belong to Him. That was the fourth thing that I wanted to share with you. Fifthly, and this is Psalms 119 says, by the way, I hope in thy salvation, O Lord, and I do thy commandments. So what does it do? The assurance of my salvation gives me a heart that wants to obey God. The assurance of my salvation gives me a heart that wants to obey God. Do I always obey God perfectly? No. Do I desire to? Yes. Every day of my life, it is my heart's desire to be obedient to the Lord. And that desire is there because I know I am a child of God. I know I have been born from above and adopted into his family. Now, the sixth thing assurance does, it calms the soul with perfect rest and peace in the midst of life storms. You're either going into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm. Life is full of trials. Life is full of storms that we have to go through in our life. Well, what gets us through those trials? What gets us through those storms is a reality that I am a child of God, and that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I know that even when I go through a trial, God is going to use it to make me more like Christ than I was before, and strengthen me in my faith and my walk with him. And so as I go through my life, I go through storms, I go through trials, I go through tribulation. I just talked to my brother Gary back here. He said he had two rough days, last couple of days. Well, he went through some trials. He went through some storms the last couple of days. Well, what does that work for? That works to make us more like Christ. One thing I never pray for, but I'm having to learn, is patience. Never pray for it, but God is teaching me patience. And that's really difficult for someone like me. But this is the sixth thing that we see, rest and peace in the midst of life's storms, because we know that God makes all things work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his name. Seventh, say, I got more points than a barbed wire fence. Seventh, assurance, and this is what I was just talking about, teaches the soul to wait patiently upon God. Because I know I'm a child of God, God may not give me what I ask for, or he may. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says yes. But sometimes God says, wait. It's not time yet. Wait. Now that's difficult for us because we don't like to wait. We've got microwave ovens. We pop it in, we pop it out, we eat it up. It's ready now. And so we live in a day and a culture in which we have instant gratification. Not so with God. Sometimes God says, it's just not time yet. And so knowing that I'm his, that I'm his child, I learn I can wait. I can wait. Because he is faithful. Because he is faithful. And it's the assurance of my salvation brings me that. Now then, number eight. Assurance of salvation purifies the heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope fixed on. You say, well, what's that got to do with purifying my heart? Well, it changes the way I live. It changes the way I live because I know I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the way I live my life one day. Because I am his child. Because I have been born again. And so it affects the way I live now because of where I'll be then. And so it purifies my heart. It causes me not to do things I shouldn't do and leads me to do things I should do. It brings a purity of heart and obedience because I know I am a child of God. I want to read you this. I'll read you this verbatim. It was a theologian. His name was Berkhof, B-E-R-K-H-O-F. And this is what he said. The Christian life is intended to be a life of service in the kingdom of God. He is a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the pastor's use, prepared unto every good work, and the service that is required of him is arduous, that means difficult, and even partakes of the nature of warfare. The believer is a soldier of Jesus Christ, engaged in earnest battles with the powers of evil. Hence he is urged to put on the whole armor of God, that he may retain his position in the kingdom of God and frustrate the works of the devil. He needs all the spiritual strength at his disposal. Especially the strength that comes from a living and active faith and from the assurance of salvation. If his gait is halting and uncertain, if his arms are unsteady, if his eye is not clear and true, if he is lacking in confidence, he will not be able to do his best for the captain of his salvation. But if he stands in the assurance of faith, he will march to the battle with confidence. He will occupy a strong position. He will aim with precision. He will fight with a strength that comes from the confident expectation of victory, that whose hearts are always filled with doubts and are constantly engaged in seeking assurance are like the soldier that spends all his time seeking his armor or putting it in shape, and meanwhile loses sight of the oncoming forces of the enemy. And so this is what he described our life as a believer is, putting on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, because where does Satan attack you? Right here in your mind. He wants to cause doubts. He wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants you to doubt that you're a child of God. He wants you to doubt that God will come through. He wants you to doubt that God loves you. He wants you to doubt all these things in your life. Well, what is it that overcomes doubt in your life? It is the assurance of your salvation that comes through Scripture, through the Word of God. This is where the power and the promises and the confidence lies. When someone comes to me and says, I don't know whether I'm saved or not, I say, well, we have to go to the Word of God. We have to go to the Word of God to see whether you're saved or not. They say, well, I feel like I am. Well, I really don't care how you feel. Feeling is the caboose. Scripture is the engine. The engine always comes before the caboose. The engine is what pulls the caboose. So you find your confidence, you find your assurance, you find your strength in the Word of God. My wife Kay is here with me today for the first time in a long time, and I'm very grateful that she can be. But if I rolled over in bed this morning and looked at her and said, I don't feel like I'm married, what do you think she would say? I really don't care how you feel. I really don't care. Hey, 61 years ago, as of July the 10th, we were married. And I got the papers to prove it. So I really don't care how you feel. Same thing is true of salvation. Same thing is true of salvation. I've got the Word of God, a word made sure. And so many days I don't feel good. Many days I feel bad. In fact, today I don't feel good. Today I didn't sleep good last night. And we won't go into all the details. But anyway, it's not based on how I feel. It's based on what I know to be true in the Word of God. Now then, you say, well, you're telling me feelings aren't important. No, feelings are important. But the feeling is the caboose. When I know of certainty by the Word of God that I'm saved, that I'm a child of God, and I have full confidence and surety in my salvation, there is a joy that wells up within me and a strength that wells up within me through the Holy Spirit that gives me that feeling that I have through the Word of God that is for certain. And so that's why salvation is not based on feeling. It is based on thus saith the Lord. And so that's something we'll be looking at in detail tonight. The first bell rang, hadn't it? Boy, boy, boy. Let me give you some reasons people doubt their salvation or don't have assurance of it. First of all, some people lack assurance of salvation because they've been under preaching that holds them to a holy standard. In other words, they leave there thinking, if I was really saved, I'd be perfect. If I was really saved, I'd never think these thoughts. If I was really saved, then I'd never mess up. That's not true. That's not scriptural preaching. Okay, so that's the first reason. What's the second reason? Second reason, lack of assurance, because they can't accept forgiveness. They think, well, I've been too bad. Surely God couldn't forgive everything that I've done, or surely God couldn't forgive this or forgive that. Yes, He can. Yes, He does. And yes, He will. It doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. If you have truly repented of your sins, placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been saved by the grace of God, not because of any good thing you've done, but strictly because of what Christ did for you 2,000 years ago on a cross, and God verified that when He raised His Son from the dead. Okay, so you've got to learn to accept forgiveness that God gives you through His Son, Jesus Christ, because again, when you say, well, I can't believe God would forgive me, you're saying, God, that wasn't enough. Amen? All right, thank you. All right, now third, some lack assurance of salvation because they don't understand the gospel. They think the gospel is grace plus works, and it's not. It's simply the grace of God, Ephesians chapter 2 says, so that no one can boast. We have nothing to boast about except the grace of God that has saved our wretched souls and made us a child of God. That's what we have to boast about. Then fourthly, some lack assurance because they don't know the exact moment of their salvation. They don't know I've heard preachers preach, well, if you're truly saved, you know exactly when you were saved. Well, I know where I was saved. I don't know what day it was. I don't know exactly what time it was. I know I was at CTS Corporation at work in Paducah, Kentucky, with people working all around me. And right there I prayed and received Christ as my Savior, and He changed my heart and changed my life. Do I know exactly what moment it was? No. I don't even remember what day it was. I don't even know what week it was. I don't even remember what year it was. But I know He changed my heart and changed my life. But some people doubt their salvation because they cannot pinpoint it to the very moment of time that they were saved. Okay? All right. Now then, I got to figure out which number I'm on now. All right, number five. Some lack assurance because they still see sin in their lives. Well, duh. Haven't you figured it out? The closer you are to God, the more sin you'll see. That's the idea. That's the idea. How are you going to grow from where you are if you don't see where you're wrong? And so the Spirit of God, if you're truly born again and saved, will be on you when you sin like a jaybird on a June bug, and He will show you exactly what's wrong in your life, and He will show you exactly where you've sinned, and you'll be convicted of it. That is not a sign you're not saved. That is a sign you are saved. Okay. Bell rung, didn't it? Six. Some lack assurance of their salvation because they don't see the hand of God in their trials. God will let you go through trials on purpose. On purpose. Why? Because that's where you grow. That's where you grow as a Christian. If you never had a problem, if you everything was always perfect, if every day was wonderful, you never would grow as a Christian. He allows you on purpose to go through trials in your Christian life. Seven. I know the bell rung, but I'm going to get through this if it kills me. Some lack assurance because they do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. They do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. One of the greatest assurances of your salvation is when you just believe God and you just obey God and you see the Spirit of God work through your life and you say, my gosh, that had to be a God thing. That had to be a God thing. And so that was number seven. And that's where I'm quitting. Because that was all of them. I didn't get through everything, but I got through enough that I can get into what I want to tonight. Anybody got a question? Has anybody got a question? Well, I either did a wonderful job and you know everything you need to, or I did a terrible job and you don't even know enough to ask. So, we'll take the first. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It is a treasure house of wisdom from an almighty God that we might not only be saved, but we might know that we're saved by the grace of God. Bless Brother Nate in the service to follow, and it is our heart's desire and prayer that if there's anyone here that's never been born from above, by the grace of God, they might be drawn out of darkness into light, reveal to them their sin, brought under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and turned to Christ alone in repentance and faith, that they might be born by the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray.